1 Corinthians chapter 9 this evening, the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 9. I mentioned many that were missing this morning and missing this evening. And again, Joyce Frame. Joyce is up in Wisconsin visiting family this weekend. And then Charlie and Karen McQuain are now in Arkansas, following them around. I am. They texted me last Sunday. They watched our services online from Missouri. And this morning after the service, immediately after the service, I was going out and got a text from them in Arkansas saying that they missed being in church here with us this morning. So you pray for them as they are traveling. I'm not sure. They said now that they're retired, they're going to travel in the winter time. But this is not winter time anymore. I think they're getting spoiled for traveling right now and enjoying their traveling. So you pray for them as they're out and about. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we're near the end of the chapter tonight. We've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians. We started in chapter 1 several months ago and have been working our way through. We have taken a break for the past several Sunday nights because of our missionary guests. And then last night I preached a message from Philippians chapter 4. But we're back in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we are down in verse number 24 this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 24. And the good news is, that means there's only four verses there. The bad news is, it doesn't matter how many verses there are. I can preach a long time anyway. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, Paul says, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The title of my message tonight from this text is simply this: Cross the Finish Line. Cross the finish line. It doesn't matter how good you start, and it really doesn't matter how good you run the middle leg. What matters is how you cross the finish line. And we're going to see what Paul tells us about that in these verses tonight. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Now, Lord, we do thank you for this Sunday evening. We thank you for this church with its doors open, Father, with folks that have gathered together tonight that are hungry to get something from the Word of God. And I pray, Father, tonight that you give me leadership and guidance, give me clarity of thought and speech, and Father, give direction as I have tried to prepare my heart and prepare this message for this group tonight. I pray, Father, you give us something that would encourage us, something would strengthen us, and something that would help us in our dedication of running this race and finishing this race to the honor and the glory of God. Strengthen us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You have probably heard many messages, if not here at Bible Baptist Church or online or somewhere, from this text because it's a very popular text. Many would entitle this passage, Run to Win. I think I've even preached on it at different times, and I've titled it, In It to Win It. All of these fancy little titles that we give to this text. But it talks about receiving an incorruptible crown. And that incorruptible crown is given to those that keep under their body, Paul says, that are temperate in all things, Paul says in this text, and that run the race till they finish the race. They run the race till they cross the finish line. There are five crowns that are mentioned in the Bible. We'll not look at them tonight, but no doubt you've heard of them before. Five crowns that are given to people at the judgment seat of Christ. Those crowns are based on our labors here on earth. Let me be perfectly clear. Your salvation is by grace through faith. All right? A Church of Christ guy was arguing with me one time. He said, you believe that salvation is by faith alone? I said, yes, I do. He said, no, you don't. I said, yes, I do. He said, no, you don't. He's argumentative. I wasn't. He said, well, don't you believe Ephesians 2:8, you're saved by grace through faith? I said, yes. So are you saved by faith alone, or are you saved by grace and faith? And what he failed to realize is grace is God's part of the equation. And faith is man's part of the equation. We're saved by grace and faith, but only the faith is our part. It is God's grace that forgives us. It is God's grace that we're going to heaven. We talked about that this morning. The death of Christ on the cross, that's God's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's how we kind of give the acronym of the five letters, G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. That was provided by him. All we had to do is put our faith in Jesus Christ. So we are saved by faith alone. And that faith saves us, not works, not any other things. But, dear Christian, once you're saved, if you want to lay up treasure in heaven, it's up to you. It's on you to do that. You are the one that's laying up treasure in heaven. You are the one, the Bible says, that has to run not as not uncertainty. You have to be the one that fights, not as one that beateth the air. You have to be the one that keeps under your body and brings it into subjection. You and I have a responsibility now to do these things that Paul enumerates here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to verse 27. We are supposed to run our race. And so as we look at this race that we are running tonight, we notice that Paul likes to use illustrations to give us a truth. There are places in the scripture in Paul's writing where he talks about a soldier, being a good soldier of Jesus Christ, not entangling himself with the affairs of this world. Paul liked to use these other characters. He talks about husbandmen, a farmer, a planter. One that has to be diligent and faithful in what he does, or he's not going to receive a benefit, a harvest from his crop. And here he talks about the athlete. He talks about the runner and even the boxer, so one that beateth the air, so fight I. But he talks about all of these have the same things in common. They need discipline. They can't just go with the flow. They can't just do what is convenient or what they feel like doing. A farmer is not going to have a crop when he plants when he feels like it. A soldier is not going to win a battle or win a war if he only prepares and trains when he feels like it. An athlete is not going to excel if the only time they put their body through the rigors of what they need to do is when they feel like it. There has to be some discipline. There has to be some desire. There has to be some determination. And Paul is using these people as an illustration for you and I as a Christian to know that if they are willing to put their bodies and put their minds through what they go through for earthly benefit, how much more so should we do it for the benefit of Christ and for laying up treasure in heaven? And so Paul takes the dedication of this runner, the dedication of this athlete, and tells us we need to have that kind of dedication and that kind of discipline. If our Christianity is flippant, it will not be successful. If our Christianity is occasional, it will not be victorious. The only way we're going to really get things done is by being dedicated and faithful as an athlete is. And so tonight, looking at this illustration, let's see what Paul says in this illustration. Look, if you would, at verse number 24, first of all. He talks about a contest. A contest. In verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth a prize? Can I say this first of all? There is an individuality to our race. An individuality to our race. You and I are all running individual races. And we are responsible for our race and our race alone. I don't have to give an account to God for how you run your race. You don't have to give an account to God for how I run my race. Your dedication, your desire, your determination to do things right and positive and great for the glory of God is a decision you have to make. I can be there to encourage you. I can be there to cheer you on, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But ultimately, each one of us makes the decision how dedicated we're going to be to Christ. Oh, we've all seen Christians that we wish we could make a decision for them to be more sold out, to be more dedicated, to get in all the way. We think about it all the time, but we can't do that. They have to decide to run their race. They've got to go around that track on their own. They've got to decide to put one foot in front of the other. They've got to decide to hit that 110 mark, the 220 mark, the 440 mark. They've got to determine that on their own. Nobody else can run the race for them. So there's an individuality, and every one of us is responsible for our race, and every one of us will give an account of ourselves for our race. And yet at the same time, I'm glad to tell you, not only is it an individual effort, it is a team effort. Because we are to exhort one another and encourage one another and challenge one another. You know, when runners train, they don't normally train by themselves. They train with someone else. Because that way, when they're not feeling it, the other guy can push them. And when the other one is not feeling it, they can push them. And they've got to run through side cramps. They've got to run through fatigue sometimes. They've got to push their bodies to the limits as far as they can. And a good and encouraging word is always helpful in helping someone run that race. Back in my high school days, which were in a previous century from today, back in the 1900s, when I was in high school and running cross country, we went to a cross country meet. And it was divided up into groups. The elite runners, which I was not one of, would run their race, and then the scrubs, whatever you want to call it, the others would run their race. So the elites were running their race, and it was a 3.1 mile cross country race. And our guys were out there running, and one of our runners was doing very good. He was in first place for our team and competing with the other team. And so we're cheering him on, and we noticed, you can't follow him for the whole 3 miles of the race because it goes through the woods and up around there. But you can be there when they come for the last 100 yards or so. You can be there when they come out of that last turn and are running across the field to the finish line. And so we're sitting there waiting for our guy to come out of the woods, waiting for him to show himself. And sure enough, two or three runners back, here comes Tim. And Tim comes out of those woods running. But literally, it looked like he was running in slow motion. I mean, his body was just, he was moving, it seemed like he was moving like this. And what happened is dehydration had set in. And fatigue had set in. And he had given everything he had to expend. And the finish line was still up there. And he was trying with all of his power and all of his might to try to get to that finish line. And so the rest of us, seeing what he was going through, rushed up along the side of that running course, and we began to cheer him on and tell him to hang in there and tell him to gut it out and tell him to push and tell him to run and tell him to do everything he could. And I'm glad to tell you, I'm not glad to tell you he didn't win the race. Finish that race, get across that finish line. If I remember correctly, I think the last 5 yards he went crawling on his knees to get across that line because he was so expended and dehydrated from the race. As soon as the race was over, the EMTs that were always parked around there scooped him up, took him to the hospital. The rest of the team got on the bus and we went to the hospital. When we got there, he came running out to us saying, "Hey, wait, guys, how you doing?" He'd gotten water and rejuvenated very quickly. But you see, the illustration is when one of us is struggling, it's a big help when others cheer them on. Now, what if we'd have come out and say, "Why don't you just quit? Give up, pal. Come on. You're not going to win now." You know, too many Christians do that. Too many Christians see somebody that's struggling and they add to their struggle. They kick them when they're down. I'm glad to say that we are here to exhort and encourage and to push and to challenge one another to finish that race. We have to have the dedication. We have to have the personal obligation to do it. But we are to run that race. It's good that we can encourage others, but it's only our race we can run. You are not a spectator of other people's races. You are not a commentator of other people's races. Don't you just love the sporting events when they're all over, all those guys get on there and talk about what that player should have done or what that guy should have done or what that lady should have done, and all these experts are telling them what they were. They weren't the one that was out there. I just want to say, shut up. Don't be so busy criticizing the one that's out there trying to do it, even when they falter and fail. The Bible says in Proverbs, a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Don't be the one that discourages them on the 6 times they fall. Be the one that helps them up every single time. Encourage one another. Help one another. Let's run this race together. Paul said here in verse number 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. We need to try to win. We need to train to win, but we're not in competition with one another. We are running our race for the glory of God. How's your race going? That's all. I'll simply ask you that. How's your race doing? How's your race being run? Only you can run it. We are there to encourage you. We're there to support you, but only you can run it. Keep your place there, if you would, in 1 Corinthians. Go to the right just a little bit. Look at the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. The same author that wrote 1 Corinthians is writing Hebrews. And in chapter 12, he talks about this race. He says in verse number 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Paul again is writing about that athlete running that race and comparing our Christian life to a race. And he says, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who are those witnesses? Well, if we're keeping the Bible in context, he just got done writing chapter 11. He just got done talking about those Old Testament heroes of the faith. We call it God's Hall of Faith. All right, in Hebrews chapter 11, he talked about Abel in verse number 4, Enoch in verse number 5, Noah verse number 7, Abraham verse number 8, verse number 11, Sarah, verse number 20, Isaac, verse 21, Jacob, Joseph, verse 22, Moses, verse 23, down in verse 31, Rahab, verse 32, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel. Those are the witnesses he's talking to, and you know what he says? They're watching us. Seeing we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, those in heaven watching us. I'm not sure how all that works out, but he says we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. They're cheering us on. They don't want to see us falter and fail. They want to see us gut it out when it gets tough and cross the finish line. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, that verse in verse 1, I turned away from it too quickly. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, laying aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Our Christian life is not a sprint. It's not a 100-yard dash. It is a long-distance run. From the day you trusted Christ as Savior to the day you finish your life here on earth, you're running that race. Run it with patience. Run it with your eyes set on the finish line. What is the finish line? Verse number 2 of Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Keep your head up. Don't look down. Keep your eyes up while you're running the race. One of the first things I was taught when I started learning running and running competitively like that, one of my friends told me, he said, when you're running, don't put your head down. It shortens your windpipe. Keep your eyes up. Keep your head level. Look out straight ahead so that you can take that breath in. That was great advice in running. It helps you a lot. And here he's saying, not just looking level. He says, looking unto Jesus. Get your head up. You ever seen Eric Liddell? You ever see the movie? What is that movie? Chariots of Fire. He ran for Britain, I think it was. Ran in the Olympics. And when he ran, when he kicked it into high gear, if you've ever seen that, when he's out there running, he's running and putting it all into it. But when he kicked it into high gear, his personal trait was his head would kick back like this. And it looked kind of awkward, but his head would kick back and he'd just find another gear and run a little faster. His eyes were being set on something high above. Eric Liddell, by the way, that won that medal, also went to China and gave his life as a missionary to reach the Chinese people with the gospel and perished in the Boxer Rebellion back in that day. But he set that example. He put his eyes up there. He ran the race. And that's what we're to do, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's run that race. Let's keep our eyes up because there are spectators. They are watching. And no one in heaven, no one in heaven wants to see you quit. There is nobody up there that's saying, oh, that's too tough. Oh, that's too hard. You can never make it through this. That's a good reason to quit. That's a good reason to get. Nobody in heaven is saying that. They're all saying, keep going. Keep running. Keep putting one foot in front of the other. No matter what happens down here, finish the race. Cross the finish line. There's the contest. Then notice in verse number 25, there is not only the contest, but there's the control. He says in verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery, that is trying to finish their race the best they possibly can, is temperate in all things. Temperate. What does temperate mean? Well, it's similar to moderate. They talk about temperate temperatures. It means it's not too hot, it's not too cold. All right, the same temperature that's going to be in heaven. Not too hot, not too cold. You say, what temperature is that? That depends on you, doesn't it? We had Merrick and Jocelyn were over for lunch after church this morning, and I asked Merrick, I said, have you had the air conditioner on yet? And he said, yes, we had it on yesterday. So it got up to 78 in our house, and we set it at 70 degrees. You know, I remember the days when I was younger where 70 degrees was the perfect temperature for me. But I think my skin must be a little bit thinner now or something because that's cold. And so we set ours at 75. Now, Sonia, she's younger than I am, of course. She came and turned it down to 74, but temperature is a temperate thing. All right, it's not the same for everybody. But temperate means moderation. It means control of things around you. And the Bible says that that earthly runner, that one that striveth for the mastery in earthly things, is temperate in all things. Do they not control their diet? If they want to exceed in whatever sport it is they're exceeding at, they control their sugar intake, their caloric intake, their carb intake. They're watching all those things. It's not like they just forbid all of them, but they're keeping an eye on that. They have to keep an eye on their mental outlook. They have to keep an eye on their attitude going through their training. They have to be temperate in all things. You and I are challenged in the Word of God to let our moderation be known to all men. We are to be temperate in our things. We're to be, I think a good word for temperate would be balanced. We are to be balanced in our life. And we are to be faithful for the Lord in running that race, getting around that track. We are to be in control. And again, that puts the responsibility on us, Christians. We can't blame somebody else when we don't finish our race. A lot of people do. Well, the reason I don't anymore is because so-and-so. They don't run your race. They might be an obstacle in your race. They might be a hurdle you got to jump over. I'll give you that. But they don't run your race. You run your race. And you are responsible for your race. And no one else can be blamed if you quit running your race. And a lot of people want to pass the buck. A lot of people want to blame it on somebody else. But you are in control. So there's the contest, there's the control. Thirdly, there's the crown in verse 25. And I know you knew that one was coming. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. They win the Super Bowl. They get their rings. They get to visit the White House. And then within a year, it's all forgotten because somebody else is doing it. They win the Masters. Brother Bruce, we were talking about golf before church. They win the Masters. They get the green jacket. They are elated, as Rory McIlroy was last week. They were elated to win that award. And a year later, they're forgotten because somebody else wins it. They win the Olympic gold medal. Did you know, I looked this up just for fun, that the Olympic gold medal is 92.5% silver? The Olympic gold medal is 92.5. It's 523 grams silver and 6 in gold, just overlaid with gold. I mean, it's as silver as a silver medal is. But the gold medal is silver with a little bit of gold on top of it to make you think you've done so much better than second place. You won first place. There's a fellow named Drew Ginn, Australian rower that won 3 gold medals and a silver medal in 4 consecutive Olympic events, starting in 1996 in Atlanta, then 2000, 2004, 2008. He won all these gold medals. They were his pride and joy. And somebody stole them. And they caught the guy that stole them, but they haven't found the medals. They do it to inherit a corruptible crown. Now, I'm not down on that guy. I feel sorry for him. But see, the earthly rewards that we gain for things down here will go up in smoke one day. And only those things that are done for Christ will last. They do it, Paul said, they do it for an incorruptible, but we do it to obtain a incorruptible crown. You and I, if we cross that finish line faithfully, will one day hear the Lord's words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and Jesus Christ himself will hand you an incorruptible crown. A crown to put on your head, to wear, as it were, in heaven, until, if you've read Revelation 4, we have the extreme blessing of casting those crowns back at the feet of Jesus Christ. But we can accumulate this crown by running our race faithfully and running it to the end. What a sad thing. We always can't do near the end what we did near the beginning. None of us get to write the script for the end of our life. Will we finish healthy? Will we finish sound in mind and body? We don't know. But we can determine to finish in whatever condition we are and crossing the line for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we do it to obtain a crown. And then the fourth word I want to give you is the contrast. And that's what we've talked about already. The contrast. They do it for a corruptible crown. We do it for an incorruptible. And I've already expounded on that, so I'll go from that right away. So the illustration was in verse 24 and verse 25. Then the application is in verse 26 and verse 27. Notice Paul said in verse 24, "Know ye not that they which run a race," they. Verse 25 in the middle, "Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown." But now 5 times in verse 26 and verse 27, Paul brings it home and says, "There, but I therefore so run, not as uncertainly." Not as uncertainly. You and I are deliberate in our run. We are determined in our run. We are dedicated in our run. We are going to run to the end. We are going to finish our course. We're going to run till we finish across the finish line. That's the race that we're not in it to quit. We're in it to finish it. And Paul says that. He talked about his desire and his dedication. "I run not as uncertainly, so fight I." All right, here's the illustration of the fighter or the boxer. "So fight I, not as one that beateth the air." I'm not just shadow boxing. He said, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." What is that? Making your body do what you tell it to do, not doing what your body tells you to do. Your body tells you to be lazy. Your body tells you to be gluttonous. Your body tells you when to do what it wants to do and when to do when it doesn't want to do. And you've got to have a mind over your matter. And you've got to determine. You've got to determine sometimes, I'm going to be in church. You've got to be determined, I'm going to read my Bible. You've got to be determined, I'm going to give somebody a gospel tract. You've got to be determined, I'm going to give my tithe and my missions. Because there are going to be times you say, well, I really don't want to do that, and I can't do that, and it's really going to be hard to do. No, you have to put your body into subjection. Paul says, lest that by any means, and here's his conclusion to this whole thing, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul's not talking about losing his salvation. But he's talking about quitting his service. He said, I keep my body under subjection. I run with certainty. I run with dedication and determination because I don't want to be set aside by God. I want to be used. I want to serve. I want to do something. I want to obtain an incorruptible crown. I'd encourage you to turn your Bibles over to the book of Philippians, and we'll close here. Philippians chapter 3. Paul, again, writing this verse as he wrote Hebrews chapter 12, and said, let us run the race that is set before us. You can run your race, no one else can. You can overcome obstacles, don't let anything knock you out of the race. Paul says in Hebrews that which agrees with that. Here he says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 14. Well, let's start in verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. I appreciate Paul's focus, his determination, his desire. This one thing I do. Now, he did many, many things. But he did it on this basis. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You can't change what's already happened. You can't change how you've been mistreated, misunderstood, misquoted. You can't change how you've been abused or mistreated by those in church or in society or anything else. Don't look back. Look forward. Paul said, reaching forth to those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what he said? I'm looking at the finish line. I'm looking at where I need to run. I guess I got one more verse. I told you I'd be the last. That'll be the last time I ever lie. Look at one more verse. It just came to mind. And I've got to find it. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. There we go. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Here's what Paul said at the end of his race. He's in a Roman prison, looking at being beheaded for his faithfulness to God. And he said in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He crossed the finish line. Did Paul have obstacles along the way? Oh, he had many. Alexander the coppersmith, Paul said, did me much evil. He was opposed by Christians and non-Christians alike. But he said, I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. Notice in verse 8, he says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. There's another crown for finishing the race. Can I encourage you tonight? Cross the finish line. Be determined. You don't know. We're sitting here tonight, April 20th, 2025. We don't know what tomorrow holds, the week holds, the year before us holds. We do know this. There's going to be some victories. Some victories that will get us to shout. God will do some things in our life that we'll just thank Him for and praise Him for. But we also know this, if we know reality, there's going to be some pitfalls this year. There's going to be some disappointments this year. Don't let the disappointments take you out of the race. Keeping your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.